Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Greg Cosell is with us, presented by the Huffaker Group of Keller Williams Realty. Make the right move by choosing Huffaker. Visit them online, thgtn.com, or call 833-THG-NASH.
So we thought we'd go with something different this week. We'll start on the defensive side of the ball, but we asked Greg if he could put together his favorite position groups. We're going to build a team here, and he's going to talk us through why he likes certain position groups. I knew that when we said your favorite, he'd say, well, favorite based on what? And I think we said just that you like to watch, and you could tell us who else might be there.
Just so I understand, you're talking about like one team, right? Like if it's defensive line, it's one team.
Right, like the Eagles defensive line or whatever. So why don't you start at defensive line and we'll work our way back. I wonder if we hit that one.
PK, let me ask you this question before we start. If a team plays a 3-4, are we then only speaking about their down three as defensive line?
Yeah, you can mix and match as you see fit.
Because, you know, I think there's a couple of ways to go about this. I think the Jaguars and the Eagles would be, if you're looking for 4-3 defensive lines with the quality of the starters and the depth that they have, you'd be looking at the Jaguars and the Eagles. But if you want to look at a 3-4 team and count the outside backers, you'd have a hard time not putting the Houston Texans in that category with a healthy Whitney Mercilus and Jadeveon Clowney as the two outside backers who essentially line up on the line of scrimmage. You know, a 3-4 can also be looked at as a 5-2. So, you know, it just depends on one's point of view. But if you look at the Jaguars, I mean, that defensive line, they literally have a quality, they have eight people who are really good. You go beyond their starting four, and you might not even include Dante Fowler as a starter. You might not even include Marcell Dareus as a starter. And then they drafted Taven Bryant in the first round and Dwayne Smoots, an Illinois kid from 2 years ago in the draft who played meaningful snaps for them. I mean, they go eight deep with a quality group.
Greg, for me, whenever I thought defensive line, the first team that came to mind, the Rams.
Yeah.
With Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh now.
And that's inside. Now, the question for them is, and Michael, by the way, I thought of them as well. They might be three. San Diego could be, the Chargers, excuse me, Los Angeles, they could be right in the top five as well. So, again, the same situation with the Rams, because, you know, they've got Sue and Donald inside. They'll play a base 3-4. Brockers is really a good player, too. You can't forget Michael Brockers. But they have some questions at the outside linebacker position, just at their linebacker position in general, losing Ogletree. You can. It all depends on your point of view.
Circle back to the Eagles and talk us through, obviously, what they're doing there. Pretty good depth as well, having drafted Derek Barnett without a giant need, and we're familiar with Jim Schwartz's 4-3, which is pretty straight up, get guys wide and win the edge.
Yeah, I mean, look, you have to see what they did, obviously, in the offseason as well. I mean, I guess Timmy Jernigan might not be healthy for week one, but, you know, they signed Haloti Ngata, who certainly can play 20, 25 snaps a game. They have Michael Bennett, who is still a very good player at both defensive end and defensive tackle. They've got Brandon Graham. They've got Chris Long. They've got a lot of pieces. Derek Barnett is an ascending player at defensive end. You guys are very familiar with him. Fletcher Cox is as good a D tackle as there is in the league. So, you know, that's another really, really good group with a lot of depth.
What's the biggest matchup issue there? And who tends to wind up singled, or is it a pick your poison, snap by snap kind of thing?
I think what they try to do, and obviously it's a great question. You know, no team does the same thing every snap, but the Eagles last year, as many teams in the league are starting to do when you have really good linemen, D-linemen across the board, is you line up in sort of five across, particularly when you're in your nickel or your dime sub packages. And the Eagles did that last year quite a bit. And what they're trying to do there is get Fletcher Cox one-on-one on a guard or a center. Because if you line up with five across, what that does, PK, is it forces the offensive line to pretty much have to match up one-on-one to who's in front of them. You have to pass set to the guy who's right in front of you because there's five guys right across. So the Eagles do that with Fletcher Cox. The Texans do a lot of that. They'll bring Jadeveon Clowney inside and try to get him matched up on an offensive guard. They do that with J.J. Watt when he's healthy. So a lot of teams are starting to do that because it dictates one-on-one matchups.
I think a couple more groups, Greg, that deserve mention for this conversation. Minnesota.
Yep.
Up front with Hunter now getting the long-term extension. They have Sheldon Richardson, Linval Joseph, Everson Griffin, Anthony Barr.
Yep, they were there too. I mean, it's you know, Everson Griffin is a really, really good player, as you guys probably know. But Sheldon Richardson, you know, he's a guy that I guess has had some issues, so people don't think about him. But I remember him coming out of Mizzou. Boy, he was your classic three technique. Big guy, explosive, quick, just doesn't get 15 sacks, so people don't think about him. But yeah, with that addition to that D-line, I mean, that's a pretty good group, too.
Yeah, and we have to mention the Chargers with Bosa and Ingram.
Yep. And I mentioned them a few minutes ago. I mean, you know, two. And Ingram, they move around.
Yes.
So Ingram, they move more than Bosa. Ingram, because he has linebacker traits, and he sort of played that somewhat at South Carolina, so he's got linebacker traits, so they stand him up and move him around.
Let's go second level. If you're thinking of the best groups of linebackers, and I know the 3-4-4-3 will plug in again, but where do you head?
Well, I mean, again, then you could think Houston, depending on how you want to categorize, you know, Merciless and Clowney. You'd have to put, I think Minnesota would fit there. And again, now you're getting into base versus sub, because if you're going to go sub and you have Eric Kendricks and Anthony Barr, you're pretty darn good. You have to go to Carolina because the best, you know, Luke Kuechly is the best inside backer in the game, in my view. So it's Luke Kuechly. Thomas Davis, I guess, is suspended for the first four, but he was still a very good player last year. And I think Shaq Thompson is on the verge of becoming a really, really good player. So it's hard to leave Carolina out when you got Luke Kuechly. Seattle would fit into this category as well with Bobby Wagner and KJ Wright. It almost doesn't matter who the third linebacker would be. You're dealing with two really, really good players.
I wonder who the third will be, if it'll end up being Shaquem Griffin or if Mingo will actually stick there.
Yeah, last year was Michael Wilhoit. He's not there anymore, I don't believe. So, you know, I think Atlanta's linebacker group, to me, is pretty good as well. We know about Deion Jones. I really think Devondre Campbell is a very overlooked player media-wise. I'm sure he's not overlooked by offensive coordinators game planning. But Devondre Campbell, 6'4", 235 pounds. He was only a fourth-round pick, I believe, out of Minnesota, so he didn't come in the league with a lot of fanfare. But his length and his athleticism is exactly what you want.
Greg, let's move to the secondary now. We're discussing the best position groups across the league. Do you want to go full secondary, or do you want to separate this cornerback and safety?
Boy, that's a tough deal. I mean, there's a lot of good secondaries. I mean, look at what the Rams did in the offseason with Talib and Marcus Peters at corner. You know, they've got some questions a little bit at the safety position, but they're obviously those two at corner. I'd have to come back to Jacksonville as well overall. I mean, when you look at Jalen Ramsey and Boye, you've got two really, really good corners. And Tayshawn Gibson is another very overlooked player from a media standpoint, but a really good safety who's expanded his responsibilities in Jacksonville. You know, Barry Church is their other safety. He fills a really good role for them. So that's a really good group. I mean, then you start getting into, you know, nickel corners as well. So it's, you could go a lot of different ways here. I mean, I really like the Eagles safety duo of Malcolm Jenkins and Rodney McLeod. That is a really good duo with defined responsibilities. So, you know, we could keep talking about this for an hour.
Yes.
let's flip to offense because we gotta move along, and let's work. Let's go tight ends.
Okay.
Starters. If you're picking your group of tight ends, which is a smaller thing, so that's a one.
Yeah, you know, and then it gets down to, I mean, it's always easy to pick one tight end. You know, I mean, obviously you can pick Gronk and say anybody with Gronk, and you're fine. you know, Travis Kelce to me is a really, really good player, and the second tight end there is a long, lanky ex-basketball player named Demetrius Harris, who does not catch a lot of passes but plays a lot of snaps for them, and they line him up all over the formation, so he actually factors in to a lot of things they do. He just doesn't put up numbers. What I'm very anxious to see is Dallas Goedert in Philadelphia with Zach Ertz. Because you could easily make the argument Zach Ertz is a top five tight end in the league. And Goddard, particularly when you go back and look at his junior tape, looked like he could be a dominant type tight end with his athleticism and movement. Did not look the same way on his senior tape. But I know the Eagles plan on getting him in there. They play a ton of two tight end sets. So, you know, those are some teams that come to mind.
Wide receiver now.
Boy, there's a lot of good wide receiver units. And, you know, people look at numbers. You know, I think the Falcons are pretty good. And again, I know Calvin Ridley is a rookie. I think he's going to come in and fit very, very well because he's not going to be the number one. So you're talking about Julio Jones, Mohamed Sanu, Calvin Ridley. You know, Justin Hardy was a second-round pick when he came out, and he's now a fourth receiver. You know, much of you look at the Steelers, obviously Antonio Brown, he's the given. I'm a big Smith-Schuster fan. I'm uncertain as to what James Washington will bring, and he'll probably be the number three. I think the Chiefs are fascinating. You know, we know what Tyreek Hill is. I like Sammy Watkins a lot. Chris Conley now becomes a three, or DeMarcus Robinson, the former Florida kid, who I think's a really intriguing player as his career continues. So they're another receiving group. The Chargers are interesting as well. You know, if Mike Williams, the Clemson kid, can sort of play to his draft status, they'd have Mike Williams, Tyrell Williams, who's another really big, fast receiver, and Keenan Allen. So there's a lot of good receiver groups, and you have to put the Rams in there as well.
Yes, and here's another one I wrote down. Detroit. If Kenny Golladay takes that next step, I know that's cliche, but if he does, with Golden Tate and Marvin Jones, that's going to be a good trio there.
And Marvin Jones is another overlooked guy, Jonathan. I mean, you know, he's become kind of their ex, and I remember him coming into California, and I was kind of surprised he was drafted as late as he was. Maybe it was his body type because he's kind of thin, but he's become kind of a big-time wideout.
Going through the league, looking at some of the best position groups in the league, and we'll move with Greg Cosell from NFL Films to offensive line.
Oh, yeah, that's, you know, I think you have to, again, look at the Eagles, too.
Yep. I agree.
You know, they're pretty good. I mean, Jason Peters will be back, and from everything I hear, he's looking very good. So you have him at left tackle. You got Lane Johnson, a top three right tackle in the league. Kelce is a really, really good center. I thought Barrett Brooks at right guard last year had a very strong, solid season. Even Wisniewski at left guard, you know, I don't know how they feel, whether they think he's a guy they want to replace, but I thought he played well. One thing about offensive line, guys, I will say this. I think offensive line execution and consistency of execution is very much tied into the offensive system. And I think when you look at a team like the Eagles with the way Doug Peterson's system works, a lot of quick game, a very multiple run game with a lot of different concepts, I think that helps an offensive line play at a higher level.
I'm going to follow up with that because I think that factors into why we haven't heard you say the Tennessee Titans yet, because I think their offensive line in the pass system for this offense, their offensive line would come to top of mind. I think it would be Philly, Dallas, and Tennessee for the offensive lines for most people across the league.
Yeah, Dallas is right there as well. I mean, and obviously they could be great again, you know, if Collins at right tackle continues to improve, if Connor Williams can step in at left guard. Clearly, you know, Tyron Smith, Frederick at center, and Martin at right guard are top three at their position in the league.
But when thinking of offensive line fitting a system, we need to see how this offensive line group fits with the Matt LaFleur offense here in Nashville.
And I would imagine it'll play better because of the system. because I think the system allows that. I mean, you know, you look what happened last year with the Rams. You know, say what you want about Andrew Whitworth. I mean, he's give him all the do in the world, but he's a 35, 36-year-old left tackle. You know, Sullivan was an older center, but that system, it allows for the ball to come out. You know, in an ideal world, and McVay and LaFleur did it exceptionally well with Jared Goff, you're throwing to your primary read an awful lot, and that's the system at work. And obviously, that's what Titans fans hope Matt LaFleur can do with Marcus Mariota, who I think fits that because he's sort of a compact, quick guy. You know, I'm not sure Mariota's at his best the longer he sits in the pocket. I'm not sure he's a great late in the down pocket player. I think he's more of a rhythm guy.
I think moving to running backs and proven commodities in backfields.
Well, that's you're talking about New Orleans and everybody else.
And the NFC, really. I mean, all of the teams I wrote down, I put the Titans here just to ask you about what Henry and Lewis could be, but we're talking of groups that we know can be. And every team I wrote down, New Orleans, Philadelphia, and Atlanta, they have proven commodities right
Atlanta's
there in the
right
NFC.
There too. I mean, I would pick New Orleans over Atlanta, but it's not by a wide margin. You're dealing, you know, obviously Kamara and Ingram, you know, and one thing that's overlooked about Ingram is he's a good receiver as well. We just think of Kamara as being a really good receiver because he is, but Ingram is a very good receiver as well. And certainly Freeman and Coleman. Coleman could be a starting back, you know, for other teams.
And finally, quarterback. I mean, that's obviously
you got to go with the Eagles. The backup won the Super Bowl. Carson Wentz, to me, is going to be if he's not already, is going to be a great, great player. You know, I think when this sort of group, whether it's, you know, Breeze, Brady, when they retire, you know, Wentz is going to be right there. He's the guy. I mean, for whatever it's worth, and I can plug NFL Films in the top 100, Carson Wentz came in number three, and we talked to players about that. So the players are telling you that Carson Wentz is number three.
Greg, this was awesome, just running through the league really quickly.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
And you're right, we could do a full hour on this.
We should have done just offense or just defense today and gone with the other next week.
Well, you know, we can play off something like this next week if you like, you know, so you know, something similar.
We will find your video of the girl playing drums to Led Zeppelin's getting rave reviews also on our Twitter.
Oh, well.
So thank you for that suggestion.
Bring something like that every week if you like.
Well, you know, I just happen to see it, but again, that's, you know, because I'm a big Led Zeppelin fan, so I just happen to see that.
Greg, thank you. Enjoy the fourth.
All right, guys, you too. Really appreciate it. Thanks.
Yep. Greg Cosell with us. We always love having him on. And if you missed portions of that, if you're just tuning in, you missed the first segment, we will podcast that online. 1045thezone.com. Also, midday180.com will take you directly to our page where you can view everything involving the show. Or you can just simply subscribe on iTunes. Just search us out, the Midday 180, and it will automatically update for you as Reed posts those each afternoon.